It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and Utah's Devin Kaufusi.
Hey, folks, welcome back. KSL's Unrivaled Players Club with Devin Kaufusi, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. Look, we have started Tour de Fans. We are at Nielsen's Frozen Custard here at 378 North Main Street in Layton. That's right, it's Nielsen's Custard in Layton. And folks are showing up. You show up, we're giving away free tickets to the BYU
it's just north,
Utah game.
It's just north of the Layton Parkway exit, just west of I-15. Yeah. So it's easy
right
to find.
Main Street.
And if you've never been, this is one of those places, Scott, that you'll wait through the line, you know, the drive-through line. You go, I don't care that it goes into Main Street.
Yeah.
I don't care that it goes into Main Street. I'm doing it. So
sign up, grab some tickets,
get yourself some. Hey, look.
We got some
BYU fans, Scott.
BYU fans, we got Utah fans.
We got
Wesson with us. Wesson is our
it's our new friend.
Yeah,
he's our newest friend.
He's our cowboy mascot
for the hour. We're really excited about
Wesson. I want to throw out a scenario.
Yeah.
All right, I want you to hear this, Devin. This is the scenario, okay? A lot of buzz this last week that BYU could potentially go into the Big 12. So now they're part of a Power 5 conference. Imagine this. Imagine that college football playoffs get expanded. Imagine that Utah wins the Pac-12.
Okay.
BYU wins the Big 12.
Oh, stop
and
it.
And they play each other in the playoffs.
You did say pie in the sky scenario. Now, Devin, the first thing is all the answers that all the players always give us is, I just look right in front of me, I don't know. But that's a pretty dang cool thing if BYU gets in the Big 12 and Utah's in the Pac-12 to have two Power 5 conference representatives within 50 miles of each other. That'd be amazing.
I think it would be great, you know, and just, you know, me growing up as a, you know, football guy, fan of football for the state of Utah and stuff, that's just, you know, that'd be huge. It'd be a great thing for the state of football in Utah.
Some people hate the rivalry. Do you know people who hate the rivalry? Did your family ever get to the point where they're like, I can't do this anymore? I know a lot of BYU fans right now that hate the rivalry.
Yeah.
Did it get to that point where it's just like, because I think it was a lot of years during the Bronco era when it was like, this is not just the losing, but it got the vitriol, the meanness seemed to be stepped up. It doesn't seem like the petty, mean thing isn't part of it anymore. I feel like it's gotten into a good place despite the fact that BYU hasn't won in 9 tries.
Yeah, I would say, you know, growing up, this was, as a
fierce
kid, it was fierce and stuff. And so, over the years, for sure, I feel like, yeah, I guess it's died down. I think it's just because of the norm of Utah's winning in the past 9 games. And so I can see why people, you know, hate it or just kind of, you know, let it be.
I love the rivalry. I really do. And I was in it when Utah wasn't very good and we hadn't won in 10 years and beat BYU. And it was really exciting. And I hated when all the BYU people talked about it. It's not even a rival anymore. It doesn't matter.
BYU people did it?
Where do you think all this stuff? Where do you think all this stuff started?
It
was back then. And so,
oh, good. I
think the rivalry is really healthy, you know, for Utah. I mean, I'm talking about the state of Utah and football in Utah. I'm interested though, Devin. Like, what were some of the memories that you had growing up about the rivalry, and maybe even like your first memory of it? Because you've been around it, I mean, your whole life.
My whole life, yeah. First memory, no, as a kid up in Salt Lake, you know, my dad started coaching up at University of Utah, and so we were all red. I was too little to really understand what was going on. I really picked up on it when we moved to Provo. That's kind of where I became conscious and aware
right.
of the rivalry.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was weird for me because it was my close family, friends, and cousins up in Salt Lake that we still were in touch with all the time. It just made me mad. I'm like, these are our friends? We're friends with these guys? I was like, our family? Why didn't, you know, go to family reunions, you know, on my dad's side? And, you know, most of the family's in red. And then there's our family in blue and stuff. And, you know, my billy hat's getting taken by cousins and stuff.
Wow.
And, yeah. and, you know, tossed around and stuff. And I was just like, dang. Like, I got to do something about this. Or, you know, like I'm just a kid, but, you know, it's something's got to be done. And the only thing that can be done, you know, is, you know, the rivalry game each year.
My whole thing is too, like I said, I think a lot of people get wrapped up in the streak. And Scott, I've never thought that was important. I never thought that
nine times.
I never nine thought, you know, times. I've never put that much stock into winning. I just love two football teams coming together. I don't even know what the score's been in the last 10 or 12 years. I couldn't tell you. I will say, having been right there in the booth during 54-10, having been in the booth right there when it was 35-0 within the first 7 minutes of the Las Vegas Bowl, mm-hmm. fans remember these things for – I mean, that year was amazing because we went, just watch ESPN put these guys together, even though they're not on each other's schedule this year, because everybody knows that this is an important game. And so I'm really looking forward to this kind of a weekend. I'm looking forward to how you guys are going to prep for this thing. So one thing that I wanted to know, too, was you personally, like, what do you do to prepare during game week? Like, what gets you into gameplay mode? Is it watching more film, or do you, like, get centered? Do you, like, what's the thing that, like, chills you out to be in the best spot mentally for these games, Devin?
I think for me, I you know, and Coach Pua does a great job talking to us. Like, for us to show up and be the guys that we want to be on game day, it has to show up in practice. And we understand, you know, the bulk of the practice is in earlier in the week. So you got to start the week off strong. You got to practice how you want to play. And so, we go through our, you know, our hard practices, and we got to bring it, you know. We got to have our assignments. We got to have their physicality up.
Right.
And, you know, it's tough because, I mean, that's just football and what we see throughout college football. You know, everyone has the same week to prepare. It's just you know, you're able to see on game day who's prepared. And really it's just that mentality of, you know, I got to be, you know, if I want to be a dominant player on the weekend, I got to be a dominant player right now on this Tuesday practice.
They have did you see Trevor Lawrence had to pay up on that Georgia bet?
I did. I think I caught a little video of that. He ended up wearing Georgia gear in the locker room and everything.
He's wearing Georgia gear in his Jacksonville locker room. And they were, I mean, the guys were relentless, which, of course, you should be. But, you know, there's a lot of respect for paying off field.
He's got some pretty hair, too. I mean, I don't know.
My question is, does your family try to get you wrapped up in the bet stuff and all those? Or do you just say, look, you guys, I'm playing in the game. I don't want to have to get wrapped up in all these bets and paying off a bet and singing the Cougar fight song at family dinner or anything?
Yeah, no, my family doesn't think that. As a kid, you know, I remember my freshman year in high school, I made a bet with one of our assistant coaches. I bet him $20, and then it was the year.
$20?
$20, I know.
Oh.
All my hard work at the grocery store. And so,
yeah, you lost it. You lost it.
And it was the year of the 54-10 game. And,
oh, my God.
So that was a hard $20 to hand over and stuff. But, you know, I just remember
you're
all
lucky
those
it was
games.
Only $20. That's yeah. The thing. It's a game like that. Jeez.
Yeah, man. Only $20. But, yeah, I just remember every – that's what we're talking about today. I just remember going back to my earliest memory of the rivalry, and it was the Rat, you know, I think it was Ratliff came and started down at Lavelle Edwards.
Wow, that's a boy. You got a that's a long memory there. Because, you know, you're a young kid now.
Yeah.
You remember Ratliff. Man.
Yeah, I was young, and I just remember because our family and friends from Salt Lake, I sat with them, but they were in their Utah gear, and I was so upset. Right. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, Ratliff. And I remember the last play, I think it was overtime, and BYU tried to throw one across the back of the end zone, had a diving catch. I remember. You know, of course, you know, the Beck to Harleen. I remember praying my eyes out. I didn't even see the play as a kid. I was on the second row behind the BYU football team up at Rice Eccles. I just remember closing my eyes and praying, clenching my hands there, being, God, please let us win this one. And I promise I will I will go to every church meeting you want me to go to. I remember my brother and I, Corbin, we used to fast for football games.
Oh,
and
my dad
would say, "God, boys, you don't fast for football." So, you know, I remember fasting, not just Utah, but TCU, college game day, TCU growing up. You know, I also remember, I was on my mission for that Vegas Bowl.
You did not miss anything.
You're a tackle now. You can't be fasting ever.
No, I can't be fasting for it.
Listen, the pure heartedness of kids who are like, "This is gonna work."
Oh, yeah, so pure.
This is gonna
work. This is gonna work. I remember like, Dad, yeah, like, come on home, grab his bag from work, and be like, "Have to take a seat, whatever you need, Dad." Yeah. So to coach better and everything. So it's the stuff you go through.
Devin Kaposi, you'll be back next week for another edition of the Players Club. Go home and get some rest. We appreciate you being on the program, and we'll be in studio with you next week, buddy. So we'll talk to you then. Okay,
will do. Thank you, guys.
We love having Devin in. That last story got me going. Oh my heavens. All right, we're gonna take the break here. Yes, that was the Players Club, brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. When we take the break now, news, traffic, and weather, and then just a regular old hour of KSL's Unrivaled. No big deal. NFL roundup. We've got the 2-minute drill. We've got so much fun stuff to do. We're at the Leighton Nielsen frozen custard. Just north of the Leighton Parkway exit, just north of it, just west of I-15, easy to find. Enter to win some BYU versus Utah tickets. Come on down, grab some free swag, and go through the RV here, courtesy of the General RV folks and the Tour de Fans. It started up today, so we'll be right back. More to go after news, traffic, and weather on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.